Welcome back to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined. We're joining back in the discussion from last week with part two of You Are Not Who You Were.
Let's get to some scripture now. This is why it's so excellent. This is why it's excellent. You said excellent, right?
Yes, excellent.
This is why it's excellent. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to read from the Modern English Version. Giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. The King James uses the word meet, M-E-E-T, which means to make sufficient or to render fit. It means to empower or to authorize. God did that. Mm-hmm. God made us fit to be a partaker of all that he has for us. It wasn't our ability or our goodness or our heritage or our, our name. It was God that made us fit to partake of all that he has for us. Amen. And verse 13 says of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, we're talking about you're not who you were. We're talking about if we have been born again, we are in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is in us. So what happened? Verse 13, he has delivered us. God has. God made us fit to partake of his goodness, to partake of his grace, to partake of his mercy, all that he has for us. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I love the delivered us. The delivered us literally means to draw out to himself or draw to himself. It means to rescue to himself. It's talking about our, as believers, our spiritual liberation by God from Satan's kingdom. The Amplified puts it like this. The Father has delivered us or drawn us to himself. And I love this. Out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are no longer controlled or we are not supposed to be controlled by darkness. Now we are controlled by God's love and all that comes with God's love. Well, every time we say that, we're not going to do it now. We talked about it a couple of broadcasts ago. But every time you say, well, I'm controlled by God's love, what does God's love consist of? Then you got to go through the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit. Because all of that joy, peace, long-suffering, all that stuff radiates from God's love. So if I'm controlled by God's love, I'm controlled by those other things as well. We're not going to go deep into that for the sake of time. Because I want to go a little bit further into this. The Passion says it like this. God has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. I love that. Because if my sins have been canceled, the guilt's been canceled.
Amen.
The shame's been canceled. The condemnation's been canceled. I don't have to carry any of that.
Yeah.
I don't have to carry my sins, and I don't have to carry the emotional pain that comes with that stuff or the emotional baggage that comes with that stuff. Because if he canceled my sins, he canceled all of that self-guilt, self-shame, self-condemnation that I would put on myself or somebody else would put on me. It's under the blood, right?
It is.
But you deal, as a minister, I deal with people that still carry Christian people that still carry the guilt, the shame, the condemnation of stuff from their past.
And you know why?
Right?
Because they have not forgiven themselves.
And they try to bury it, cover it up. And it's very easy to see it, to discern it when they're at an altar and they're just bawling and squalling and pleading and trying to worship their way through it. But you're right. If they haven't forgiven themselves, they can't accept God's forgiveness and God's mercy.
And that's what it boils down to is what Jesus does for us is instantaneously. It's, you know, it's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that comes if we obey the word and we are born of the water and born of the spirit, born of the water means his name being applied to our life. All those things are right there for us. But
this young lady, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but we have to make the choice to forgive ourselves and to live in that freedom. Because like you said, the condemnation, the memories of everything that we've done, it's hard for us in our human flesh to fathom forgiveness in that aspect, that everything that I've done has been washed away. Because people don't allow us to sometimes live that freely. And so we, instead of basing life upon who Jesus says we are and what he's done for us, oftentimes people, like you said, will condemn us. People will continue to bring up our past.
And why does it, I don't want to say this, don't want to ask this question. Why does it seem so often that it's quote unquote Christian people that don't want to let us forget? Especially if we're after we've been in church, we've been doing good, and then we slip, we fail, we fall.
Well, that's why it's so hard sometimes.
And it always seems to be Christian people want to make us prove ourselves to earn our way back into the good graces of the church.
And that's why it's hard sometimes when people do fail or when people do mess up. It's hard for them to come back to church because of the condemnation that they're going to feel from people, not from Jesus. Because, you know, we mess up and we ask Jesus to forgive us. He forgives us right then. But people, on the other hand, I don't know why Christians are so unforgiving and don't allow people to live in freedom. But I can say that all Christians are not created equal either.
That's exactly
and
right.
I do, you know, I thankful that I attend a church that do love and welcome people back in when they've messed up.
Abundant grace.
Yes. And that's exactly what the church is, because, you know, our church was pretty much founded on a bunch of broken people, and we allow God to heal us together. And it's become a place where people can walk through the door and feel loved and not feel judged and be able to live their life, broken and be loved back to being whole again. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what every church body should be, is welcoming people in, making them feel loved, and then helping them to get to that healing, whatever the healing may be, helping them to get to that place and to that point. And it's a shame that all churches, that's not what they're trying to do. But we can definitely hope that in the future that they can get to that point, because we got so many broken people in this world that need love, they need to feel Jesus, and they need to know the love of Jesus, not the condemnation.
Absolutely.
Not the because you get enough of that in the world. You know, you get enough hurt in the world. The church should be different.
Oh my goodness, yeah. The church is a healing center.
It should be, absolutely.
Supposed to
be
healing. Well, we have got to get, this has got to be revelation. It can't just, we got to move from knowledge to revelation. Mm-hmm. It's like the young lady said to me last night. She said, I don't know if I can feel God. And I said, that's some kind of ridiculous mindset that somebody's put in you, that you're controlled by your feelings. I said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Yes. Then you just got to move from
feeling
to knowing God is there.
Mm-hmm.
God is there. And if you know and you have a knowledge that God is, and you have been rescued completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, the scripture said, and translated into the kingdom realm of the love of God. You are in the kingdom of God right now. It's not a feeling. It's a revelation. It's a promise of God. God is translated. You've been born again now into this new kingdom. So now you've got to understand that you're a subject now of a new kingdom under new laws. It's a different community. You are born again of the water and of the spirit. And it has to become a revelation. We no longer live under the empire of sin and ignorance and misery and the the condemnation and the guilt and the shame. We don't live under that empire anymore or that control anymore. Now we live in a kingdom of holiness, of knowledge, of righteousness, as Romans 4, 14, 17 says, righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's physical.
Mm-hmm.
That's physical, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's spiritual. That righteousness is not me trying to do right on my own power, my own ability. It's impossible. It's the righteousness of God, which is supernatural. That peace is not me trying to, okay, today I'm going to get up, fingers crossed, I'm going to have good thoughts. I think I can. That's my own ability. I'll fall all over myself.
Yeah.
But the peace of God that passes all understanding is supernatural peace. And then the joy in the Holy Ghost, that joy, again, is not me trying to get up and I'm going to have a happy day today, no matter what. And I'm trying to think myself positive. No, that's not, I can't muster that joy up. Something will happen. If we keep saying this word, something will trigger in me and boom, here I go again. But the joy of the
Lord
is my strength. Yeah. That's supernatural.
And we're not
and I've got to get a revelation, because when I know that truth, Jesus said, when I know that truth, not just believe it, but I know it, that's what makes me free.
And I like what you said about, because, you know, a lot of self-help books or self-help people that, you know, they're talking about the positive talk or positive affirmations, and they tell you to stand in the mirror and to say, I am somebody, like, I am loved, I am this, I am, you know, and saying all these things about yourself. It's different just making those statements and just saying those words. It's different when you start applying the word of God, because it's powerful. Like, who does God say, Lord, that I am?
Wow, Lord, think about this, what you just said. Though some of those people have made millions of dollars off a scriptural biblical principle, yeah, but they're just doing it through the avenues of flesh and carnality.
Mm-hmm.
And if people could grab a hold of that as a spiritual revelation and a spiritual principle and begin to, you said it earlier, it matters what you say,
yeah,
and what you think, but not from a flesh perspective.
Yeah.
Again, if I think I can, I think I can. But from a God perspective, when you begin to say about you what God has said about you, and it becomes revelation, you eventually move from an area of where you don't have to get up and stand in front of that mirror and say it every day. You just get up knowing it.
Exactly.
You get up knowing it. You get up walking in it, because you've grown in it and you've matured in it and you've developed in it to the point that you just get up knowing it. And that's all, it's become revelation.
Yeah. And what you said about maturing in it, because people, I think sometimes as babies in Jesus, they haven't learned these things yet. And, you know, sometimes people can be in church 40 years and they're still an infant because they haven't went past, yeah, learning the basics. And some of them, you know, they never mature. Maturing in it means that regardless of what today holds, regardless of like who I have an argument with, regardless of who pulls out in front of me in traffic, regardless of what diagnosis I'm going to get at the doctor's office today, regardless of what happens tomorrow, I'm still going to declare that God is in control, that I know who I am in Him, that He's not brought me to anything that I can't get through with His help, and just declaring those things. I'm telling you, from a personal point of view, it gives you the peace that you can make it through the next day and the next day and the next day, because absolutely, everything I have to go through, everything this life brings, no matter what it is, whether it be sickness, health, death, whether it be financial hardship, whatever the issue may be, Jesus is going to see me through it because I'm one of His, and He declares and promises me in His word that this is what He's going to do for me, and this is how I can live my life. And having that peace is something that, like, we can't get from anywhere else.
It's exactly right. And that's what, and I'm going off something that you said before, and I've had other people tell me this too, that people really want to live in this freedom glory that we're talking about. They just don't know how to do,
yeah,
it. And that's what we're
trying
to
do. Yes.
To do. That's what we're hoping, yes, to do. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, and as we were preparing for this particular episode, I felt led to share a little bit of my testimony of what I've been through.
Please do that. Please do that.
Because I really do feel like the people want to live in freedom. They want to get to where we're talking about and to be able to have that freedom, but they don't know how to do it. And so I know beginning this whole podcast, our whole thought process together was giving practical application of how you can live free. So we, as ministers, teachers, leaders, we're really good at saying, do this, do that. But for the Christian that's sitting there trying to figure out how to do it, how do we live this victorious life? It's easy just to say, just proclaim it, proclaim your healing. Because I was there. You know, I was diagnosed in 2019. I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, it shook me. It shook my world. I'd already lost my mother and my niece to cancer. So it really shook me whenever I was diagnosed because, like, I didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold. But in the reality of it is I did understand that no matter what I had to go through, Jesus was going to be there with me. But sometimes as, you know, as Christians, even we don't want to go through what we're going to have to go through. I didn't want to go through what I was, you know, what they was telling me I was going to have to go through. I just wanted Jesus to show up, perform a miracle like I knew he could do, and me be done with it. So in the moment that we have to go through these things, our mind goes crazy. Like, what's going to happen? Where are we going to go? What's the outcome going to be? So if you've asked Jesus to touch you, you've proclaimed his word, you've went forth in a service after service to receive your healing, and it just, you know, it hasn't happened for you yet. I'm speaking from that experience myself and just going to be real that sometimes, you know, people, and I know people that's going to be listening is going to have the same experience, that we do all the right things and nothing changes, nothing happens. That's what happened to me. I went up, you know, to many people were praying for me. You were praying for me. You know, other powerful men and women of God was praying for me. My pastor prayed for me, declared me to be healed, declared for that mountain to be moved, all these things. And in the process of all that, they were still preparing me for chemotherapy and radiation. And so at that point, and I'm not, you know, pat myself on the what? I see you got something.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you can say something.
Yeah. You might be going to say this. I don't know. But something did happen. Something did happen because God did speak to you, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that. Stop trying to steal my thunder.
I'm just.
Are you trying to move me along? Say,
no, I'm just saying you did. You said nothing happened. I was like, wait a minute.
I wasn't there yet. Nothing happened
God.
Yet. Nothing
See,
happened
I'm
yet.
I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm trying to. I'm ready to go. Fire. I'm sorry. I cut
no,
you
you're
off.
Fine.
Go ahead. I'm
you're
just
fine.
Excited.
You're fine because it is exciting what God did. So, before even all of this happened, and I'll go ahead and share what you're talking about. Before all of this even happened, God woke me up in the middle of the night and spoke a word to me. And he said, let's see, I've got it written here because I always get it wrong. Where's my scripture at? I thought I had written it down. Anyway, he woke me up in the middle of the night with just the words, this is not
John 11:4.
Okay, this is not
from the Amplified.
From the Amplified. Did I write it?
Would you like me to read it?
I would love for you to read it. Yeah, help me out here.
This sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through it or by it.
Amen. So I'm getting there. Yes, I'm getting there. So that's the scripture that he gave me in August of 2019, even before any of this happened. And my niece had been diagnosed with cancer in May. This was in August, and I thought the scripture was for her. And she passed away from cancer after we had, you know, prayed for her, declared her healing. Like, she still passed away. So it left me and my family at the point of, you know, we did everything right, but, and that's a whole nother story to go into for another day, when Jesus doesn't answer the way you expect him to answer. And how do you continue on after that? But going back to my story and my diagnosis, we're talking about living in victory, living with joy, living in peace in spite of what we see ahead of what in the things we have to go through. A little bit of my story is in 2019, as I said, I was diagnosed, and like the thing that came to my mind was what Job said, my greatest fear had come upon me. Cause like I said, I'd lost my mom, I lost my niece to cancer. So like I was shook, like I was, you know, I was messed up because, you know, now I'm diagnosed with cancer, what's going to happen? But Jesus had spoke that word to me. And I, whenever they told me, my mind immediately went to that word. And I said, in that moment, okay, God, I'm going to stand on this word. And the one thing that I said is in the notes that preparing for this was, if I had not known his voice, if I had not recognized his voice, then I would have missed it. That's the reason why it's so important for us to hide his word in our heart, because I would not have recognized his voice through his word if I had not known that scripture. And it wasn't, you know, that's not a scripture that I had memorized, or a scripture that, it's just one that I had read in his word. And so immediately when it came to my mind, I knew it was God speaking to me. So, that's and powerful. Through that, like I was able to cling to that, and my husband was able to cling to that, because oftentimes, you know, I've experienced, and man, we'll have to talk about this another time when we're talking about trauma, because my husband, he went through a whole thing with his health, and I've experienced watching someone that you love the most be sick, and I've experienced sickness myself. And oftentimes through my treatments, my husband would ask me, you know, what's the word that God gave you? Like, you're confident in that. And it helped him to get through it too, because Jesus said, this is not unto death, but for my glory. So here I am 4 years later, cancer free. And I went through all the treatments. I went through all the radiation. I went through everything that I had to go through. But here I am today, 4 years later, I'm still here. I'm still, victorious. And in the middle of everything that I had to go through, I still had joy. I still had peace. I still had victory over what I was having to deal with. And not only did I have to go through all of this, but I had to go through all of this through COVID. I had to go into all my treatments by myself. But guess what? I was not alone, because Jesus was right there with me. When I would lay on the table for my radiation, the words that would go through my head is, when you walk through the waters, like, they'll not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. Like, all those words, like, would go through my mind, and it was Jesus right there in it with me. I was not by myself. He was right there with me. And so, and I know I'm like totally off of what I was going to say, because I kind of made notes, but thing of it is when we go through things, it's not just for us. Because we wonder, why do I have to go through this? I often call it behind enemy lines, because I was in a place at that time that everybody couldn't go there. Because of COVID and the lockdown, only the patients were allowed to go into these treatment centers. So I was there with other people going through the same thing that I was going through. And I was there praying with people. I was there encouraging people. I was there and just walking into the place. You know, and at times my husband would sit out in the parking lot and just pray over the facility. We would pray over the people. We would proclaim healing and deliverance for those people. So sometimes the things that we go through is not just for us, but for other people. And so I want to make that plain, that we don't know the reasons why we go through things in life, but we do know that there's a plan, there's a purpose, and it's for his glory. And that's what helps us to be able to get through what we have to go through when we look at it in that sense. I'm not going through it because of me. I'm going through it because he has a greater purpose and a greater plan. Amen?
Amen.
So,
what did Jesus go through so people could be set free?
Exactly. And are we any better? Like,
what did Jesus go through so you could be free from your depression, from your anxiety, from your worry, from your fear? Kingdom, you said this before, kingdom culture, kingdom living there's something wonderful about Jesus on the inside of us. And I made a statement to the church last night. I got up in the pulpit because normally when somebody gets in the pulpit, they say, I feel so good to be in the house of God. Feel so great to be in the house of God with y'all. I got up in the pulpit last night, and I said, it feels so great to be the house of God.
That's right. And I think that's where
it feels so great to be the house of God.
And he goes everywhere we go.
To live from the victory of God, the blessings of God, to live from the goodness of God and the favor of God.
And so, and just one little thing before we close out, practically speaking, being born again into his kingdom doesn't mean we won't go through tough times. It means through tough times, we don't go through it alone and by ourselves. Because of what I went through, I can, you know, sit here today and say that I'm a changed person, say that I'm a new person, say that I no longer fear the things that life brings, that great fear that came upon me. I don't fear those things anymore. Yes, I do have times of anxiety or times of fear, but I also have his word to combat those things. Doesn't mean that it's never going to show back up or that never going to have to go through anything again, but it means that through it, I've got him. So 4 years later, cancer free, and I'm encouraging you people tonight in this life, right now in this moment, that there's something wonderful about kingdom culture, kingdom living, something wonderful about, like you said, Jesus being on the inside, walking, speaking through us, walking with us, leading us, guiding us. And if you're listening tonight, he's speaking. And how does he speak? Through his word. That word has to be hidden in the heart so that we can recognize his voice when he speaks to us. So in the middle of everything that you're going through, in the middle of everything that life has brought your way, you can still have joy. You can still have peace in the midst of it if you walk it with Jesus and allow him to give you that joy and that peace. So wonderful.
And I say amen to that right there.
Yeah, so
I say amen to that
right there. It's a wonderful life to live with Jesus.
It's a wonderful life to be the house of God.
Amen.
It's a wonderful life to be the house of God. Thank you for joining us, friends. We love you so much. And I say we, I know Lori feels the same way. We love you. Thank you for listening. Again, we appreciate feedback. Give it to us. Send it to us. Let us know your prayer request or whatever. We'd love to pray for you. We're still growing into this. We'll keep growing into this. And we're going to keep expanding this. But I want you to use, I'm going to give you some more scriptures next week as we continue to go in, dig in a little bit deeper into you are not who you were. I'm going to give you some more scriptures to look at, to confess, to pray about. But I want you to take that 3 John 1:2, confess that, confess it, begin to say it daily. I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul is prospering in Jesus' mighty name. So use that scripture. Begin to confess that daily. I would also encourage you to use Galatians 2:20. Look that scripture up. Begin to confess that daily until it becomes just so a part of your vocabulary and your mindset that you just begin to see it impact your life in a mighty way. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you again next week.